Welcome to the Dementia Research Project. I'm Matt DeRay, and in this podcast, I explore the history, innovation, and champions in and around the world of dementia.
Linda Somolada serves as the head of operations at GT Diagnostics, a joint venture between the UK and Malaysia focusing on developing tools for the early diagnosis and monitoring of dementia progression. With approximately 20 years of experience in the life sciences industry, Dr. Somolada oversees the development of all products at GT Diagnostics.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Matt. Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you very much. We met at Asian Society Against Dementia last year in Penang.
Yes, that was very exciting for me because that was my first trip to Malaysia.
To kick things off, would you mind sharing your journey leading up to GT Diagnostics?
Yeah, sure. Happy to. So I studied physics in Germany and graduated with what was then called a diploma. They've switched to bachelor and master since then. But anyway, moving on to a PhD, and it was all in the same field as research focused on what now would be called data science with applications to neuroscience data. So the projects I was working on, they were related to stroke and Parkinson's disease. And then in 2013, I moved to Aberdeen and joined a new group at the Aberdeen University working on research in dementia diagnosis. And that was funded by Genting Tarek's Diagnostic Centre. And essentially from there, I transitioned to working for the company eventually.
Could you share the origin story of GT Diagnostics?
Yeah, so GT Diagnostics is our UK-based subsidiary of Genting Tarek's Diagnostic Centre. That's a company established in Malaysia, and it was established in 2012 with the vision to change the diagnostic landscape and the market in dementia. And GTD, as we collectively call just the both of them, and kind of see ourselves as one group working together, it was founded as a collaboration between Genting Berhad and the Tarex Pharmaceuticals Group, and our mission is to develop and provide the much needed tools required for early diagnosis and monitoring of disease progression in dementia.
Just before we get into the various products of GPD, do you mind just giving your sense of the diagnostics landscape? How is it being done and what are some of the gaps?
Yes, I think there's multiple challenges, and there's obviously a whole like diagnostic journey. In many countries worldwide, there's a lot of time delay and it takes a long time to go from initial concerns and worries about memory and cognitive health to having a diagnosis. And that has various reasons. It's overworked healthcare systems, but also not having the right tools available. Some of them are time-consuming or outdated and won't pick up early changes. Because if I ask you things like, when have you last used a phone book? Most people will nowadays say, no, never. And that is a negative score on that scale, isn't it? So there's a lot to be done to provide newer tools, but also tools that help the medical professionals make the best use of their time. So increasing the time they actually spend with the patient rather than just going through the motions of an assessment.
If somebody suspects they've got something, they go and see their GP. And how long typically before they get a diagnosis?
That obviously varies, but it can be between 6 months and 18 months maybe. Also, there's a bit of a delay before they even get to the point where they would contact a medical professional with their concerns.
You are solving that, the period before they even see the GP.
Yes, exactly. We've got our HiPal wellbeing app to kind of help reduce that initial hurdle of seeking out help or making a start at figuring out what might be happening. So it's a cognitive assessment that people can use at home. It's an app on the App Store and Google Play Store, and people can measure and track their cognitive performance in the comfort of their home. It also comes in quite handy if you maybe have a family member you're a little bit concerned about, because it's a much easier ask to say, oh, would you try this app, as opposed to come see a doctor, I think you might have an issue with your memory. And then as a second step, of course, the app can never replace the doctor's appointment, but it can help start that conversation, because based on the results that we show in comparison to a healthy cohort, that can then help have that conversation and trigger the doctor's appointment as a second step.
I can't recall the number, but there's a stat where there's a large percentage of people who are not even diagnosed living with dementia.
Yes, yeah. Worldwide, that's 75% of people living with dementia have not been diagnosed. That's an ADI statistics from the Alzheimer's Disease International, who bring out an annual report on Alzheimer's disease and dementia.
So there are four different products. Do you mind just giving a sense of what these products are and who they are for?
Yes, I think I've already given you a little bit of an idea of HiPAL, so that's sort of the first in the row of the products with a well-being app available, Apple and Google Play Store, currently in about 30 countries. We're kind of always working to add more and obviously releasing a new feature very soon, which I'm delighted to tell you about, or a new update that will then offer subscription models to the full functionality of the app in addition to the current lifetime purchase option. So giving our users more options as they choose how to use HiPAL. The professional counterpart, which is called HiPAL Pro, is a very similar assessment, but comes with an output score for the medical professionals. And that's designed to bridge the gap between being a new and modern assessment, but delivers an output score that can readily be interpreted. So it gives a predictive score of something that's already in use at the moment, making that kind of transition easy for healthcare systems. This is currently available in the US, and we're working to release it in several other regions, with a priority on Malaysia, I'm pleased to tell you. The third product in the line is Psycox. That's a computer adaptive cognitive assessment, very many big words, but essentially the computer chooses which question to ask next to avoid very difficult and very easy questions and help get results in a more streamlined way. Rather than going through a set number of questions like traditional assessments do, it kind of shortens that time by cleverly choosing what to ask next. And on top of that, it also assesses different what's called domains at the same time. So for example, it's known that depression plays a big part in dementia diagnosis as well, because not wanting to give an answer can affect the outcome, and not wanting might come from being depressed, but the result is not giving an answer that could be confused with not knowing the answer. And this tool helps disentangle those two aspects, and a third one as well. So there's like different domains going in. So it's a first of its kind of tool in the pipeline that we are currently working on the validation of, and then we'll obviously submit to regulators afterwards. And the fourth product in our pipeline is called Signex, and that uses EEG data from standard EEG devices to produce the scores. And this is a very exciting tool, as it's using resting state data, which means it doesn't really rely on any like patient interpretation or input or stimuli. Like our other tools require the patient to interact either with the tablet device or the medical professional, or with the mobile device, a medical professional. But this one is one that can also be used in other contexts where this interaction might not be possible or might not be reliable.
We talked earlier about the gap in the market of there being like almost under diagnoses, right? How does the normal person find this app?
So obviously, yeah, so it's obviously on the App Store, Google Play Store, but we also advertise it through other means and kind of just share with people about it. We also go to events where we maybe demonstrate it to people. So we've got some here, but also my team in Malaysia, they also go to some outreach events at university, or some might even run in a shopping mall. So that's how we tell people about it.
Right. I downloaded it just now and played the HiPAL Lite, which is the free version.
Exactly. And then with the update, that will be combined into one. So that'd be much easier and much more user-friendly, where you have essentially, you'd still have the same features as HiPAL Lite for free, but in the same app as the one where you can then choose to pay for the premium.
When you've done your testing with persons who suspect they may have dementia, what is their feedback? Because I can imagine there may be a lot of fear and trepidation when they actually try to do this test, right? How do you think about that?
Yes, I mean, when we demonstrate it, it's in a sort of demonstration context, right? It's in a loud public place often, so it's not a sincere assessment. And we usually also use like a demo account where the age and sex is set to some sort of value, where of course it's designed to be used by people in a quiet and like comfortable space. But when people say they're worried about what their results might be, we kind of just encourage them to take the time and do the assessment properly, just to see where they're at. And it's a bit like people using like smartwatches or similar devices to measure and monitor their physical health. So that's what we're kind of trying to promote and promote with HiPAL, is to measure and track cognitive health as well.
You mentioned HiPAL Pro being used within healthcare systems.
Yes.
Could you describe a use case? Is it at GPs or specialists? How does it work now, and how do you hope to roll out in the future?
Yes, so it is, it's created as a sort of standalone tool, so it's got every part that it needs, but obviously with electronic health records becoming more and more common, it will eventually integrate with those, and it's designed under the hood to do an easy integration with that kind of system. From the sort of way it's designed as what it assesses, the best place would be the primary healthcare, so GP, because that's where the patient goes first with their concerns. And then, of course, they'll be referred on to specialists in their diagnostic journey eventually, but if they can have a first result already in that sort of first encounter with the healthcare professionals, that would be beneficial to both the healthcare system and the patient as well.
Right. For these products, what areas are you testing for?
Yeah, so HiPAL and HiPAL Pro both use the same assessment, and it's designed to be a quick and sort of first step assessment. And it does, as you were saying, mainly memory. So you've got to remember object location. That's this sort of paired associative learning, as it's called. It does also have a reaction time aspect to it. That's very simple, but it's just to kind of check the speed of reactions. And one very crucial part is also the sort of judgment of learning. So as a user, you are asked to say how many objects you think you'll remember the location of. And that's a very insight. While it just seems like a small question, it's got a lot of insights in it at the back of it as well. Yes, and then all of these are combined in the score calculation as one combined score comes out to make it easy to interpret. So it's not multiple numbers for multiple things and someone you have to work out what's what, which just kind of draws them all into one score.
You mentioned another aspect to this is the time aspect, right? People come back and check in their progress.
Yes.
Over time. Could you share, based on what you've seen, how does that chart look like for you?
Yes, I think what is very crucial to know for this is that, of course, everyone's kind of at a different level, and some people are maybe a little bit better at this kind of game or kind of task of remembering object locations. And so we have designed HiPAL, and obviously HiPAL Pro as well, is the same assessment, to be difficult for pretty much everyone, because you can't really see a change if you half the population will always score full scores. So it's difficult for everyone, but that also gives a broad, healthy range. And the idea is if you use it over time, you can see gradual changes even if your score remains in the healthy range. And that might be reason to look into it further. So that can go both ways. You can just kind of track what it looks like. And if you are someone who is unfortunate and has a neurodegenerative disease, you might see it going down over time. But also you might be starting new habits to try and improve your cognitive health, and then you might see over time an increase in your score. And the idea is that maybe in contrast to physical health is a bit of a slower process. So we would recommend an assessment maybe once a month to kind of just keep track of where you're at.
You mentioned actually two uses in terms of maybe one's assessment and the other's almost like a brain health activity to a certain extent. Is that a fair view?
Well, our tool is not designed as a brain training or anything like this. It's intended to measure at certain points in time, because while your score would improve if you did the assessment every single day, it wouldn't necessarily improve your cognitive health in a broader sense. It would make you very good at this game.
Right.
But what you really want is a healthy brain in all sorts of areas of your life. So we recommend to use it only once a month for an assessment to kind of see where you're at, and use other things in between to get your brain healthier.
One of the things I was really fascinated about when we met in Penang was the fact that there you are in Aberdeen and you've got a local market here in Kuala Lumpur. Could you share how that works? Like, what's the dynamics between both markets and both teams?
Yes, so we've got, you describe it correctly, we've got pretty much half the team in Malaysia and half the team in Aberdeen. At least that's sort of the core research and development team. But we operate as one team. So it's not two teams that kind of collaborate a little bit, it's one team. And although our working hours only overlap for a short period each day, we run daily team meetings to ensure everyone's kind of pulling in the same direction and kind of to foster this sense of unity in the team. And that works very well. Of course, as and when we grow, this might change, because at the moment it's still less than 10 people. You can get everyone into one meeting. If a team becomes bigger, now obviously we have to adapt to that as well.
How do you think about entering different markets? And I guess a related question to that is partnerships, working with different partners to gain a foothold in different markets. How do you think about that?
I think at the heart of it is our goal to make the tools available for as many people as possible, right? But then, of course, we can't do everything at once. So we've got to go into some stages, and then there's a variety of factors that impact how we decide where to look next, so to speak.
So in terms of this diagnostic space, there are companies doing different things, the different variations. How do you see it from a competitive lens? Or is it that everybody is doing such important work because this, you mentioned the stat 75%. Is everybody just not looking at it from a competitive lens, but more that the problem is so big that this we need all the people we can get?
Yes, I think I would completely agree with you on that. There's so much room for doing things that really is not a competition. It's about working together to help people get the diagnosis they deserve and as quick as possible. And of course, ultimately make treatments available for those people to help them have the healthiest life possible.
Are there any interesting partnerships, collaborations you have coming up? Like, this is something we did with a university or a private organization, which actually could work.
Yeah, I think, I mean, one of the core collaborations for us is with the Tarex Pharmaceutical Group, who've been part of founding us, and they are working on excitement treatment opportunity. So that lends itself to a synergy where we are working on diagnosis, they're working on a treatment, but our tools are not specific to their treatment, so they can be used to diagnose, and then of course the whatever treatment option is available can be applied.
So the big word for 2024 and 2025 and 2026 onwards is artificial intelligence.
Yes.
How do you think about AI in your operations? How does it help, or how does it broaden your scope? How do you think about it?
The advancements in AI, they are just fascinating, and there's so much happening and so fast-paced. And we are a company with sort of relentless, as you might say, relentless curiosity, right? So we keep seeking out fresh perspectives and continually learn on things. So we are already using AI for some aspects of our work, and this will only increase. There's no, I don't know, we can't really see any other way of doing work going forward. And we think that when used in the right context, AI can be a valuable resource, and that's what we aim to achieve and to kind of leverage it for.
Is there any specific way you're using it now?
I can say that we're exploring different ways of integrating AI, but especially with the regulated products, we also always have to consider the regulatory side of things and to make sure that what we build is acceptable to regulators and sort of can be validated in a meaningful way.
Right. That's a great point. In terms of that, which regulators governs your product?
So it always depends on the region in which you want to bring it to market, and then you have to make sure you meet those regulatory requirements. Right. However, they are similarities or even like parts where worldwide they would accept stuff from some other regions. So basically you just have to make sure you meet what is required for all the different regions that you're looking to. And that could mean that you have a variation of your product where certain aspects have to be done slightly differently or documented in a different way for a different region.
What are you excited about in the dementia diagnostic space? There's so many interesting things happening right now in blood biomarkers and different types of diagnostics. Is there anything you're looking into or researching?
Yeah, I think for me personally, at the heart of it is always the people. That and that kind of seeing how that can be helpful. And also, it's a big part for me to listen to the people living with dementia, those maybe who have got a relative living with dementia, kind of hearing what their thoughts and concerns are and where they struggle. So for example, someone who cares for a person living with dementia is much more likely to question if they might get the disease at some point as well. And kind of just, I'm very empathetic with that situation. It excites me to provide some help for them with, for example, with HIPAA, because they might not have memory concerns now, but still want to be reassured, right? So they could be using HIPAA to see their scores in the healthy range and know if they continue to use it, they'll spot if a change happens and can sort of act early.
Is there a way for people to reach out to you to learn more about GTD?
Yes, we've got a mailing list. So either on our company website, gtdiag.com, or on the HIPAA website, which is more specific to our HIPAA tool. That's hipaa-app.com. And there's a sign up for a mailing list if people want to get in touch.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you want more of these type of stories, interviews, and guests, please follow the Dementia Research Project wherever you get your podcasts. Onwards and upwards.